righty, welcome once again to Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.com. The number, as always, to call is 201-939-4513. On Twitter, it is hashtag Giants Chat. I am Russ Salzberg, along with my colleague today, Jeff Feagles. And it's a good thing we have Jeff with us, a long time, not good, outstanding punter in the National Football League. And punting certainly was a help.
What's up, Russ?
Punting certainly was a help yesterday. You know,
well, I wouldn't have been kicking yesterday without that wind. I had enough of that over the years, I'll tell you. But I never got to punt in the new stadium, but, you know, I don't think it's anything near what the Giants stadium used
to be. No, the old one was worse. Actually, coming into the parking lot yesterday, walking through the parking
lot. Reminded of you of it?
Yeah, it was a lot worse outside than inside the stadium. Yeah. But nonetheless, it was bad. And the reason I say listen, that was a big fifth. Brad Wink had himself. He's had some troubles. He had himself a good football. Not only him, special teams had a good day yesterday.
Well, I think other than the missed extra point, which right. I actually – there is a difference between the old extra point and the new extra point. The old extra point, that ball goes through the goalpost and then goes into the net, where the new extra point being 33 yards away is now – or 31, whatever it is. The fact is that you see what happened. That ball got blown away.
That end of the end zone was the most difficult part.
The goalposts were moving around, and you know, and really the special teams as a whole, as you said, they played well. You know, Kansas City, very, very prolific return teams with their punts and their kickoff returns. They eliminated them from making any big plays, and really both punters did a really nice job. You look at Colquitt for the Chiefs, he had a really nice 59-yard punt or whatever on the 4. So field position was a big battle, and really when you talk about the Giants' field position yesterday, they got two gifts, which really gave them the chance for scoring, and it's how they won the game, because both their turnovers that they got were in the Chiefs' field and be able to turn them into points. So great, good game. And the weather certainly took away Andy Reid half of his playbook, I would imagine, yesterday. Because with the Chiefs coming into this game, if you are in a game where there isn't that much wind, they would have been throwing the ball down the field a little bit further. I think it eliminated a lot of their plays that they wanted to do yesterday against this Giants defense.
Nonetheless, that Giants defense was the Giants defense that we got to see yesterday. It was the Giants defense that certainly was missing, for a good part of the season, in particular the previous 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think that you finally have seen how opportunistic they were yesterday. They got 3 turnovers, 3 interceptions, and you talk about complementary football. That's what Coach McAdoo's been trying to use that term and have it be relevant. Yesterday it was. I mean, the offense didn't turn the ball over. The special teams played well, and the defense played well. You go back to the last time that happened, they won a game 2 against Denver. That was complementary football. Other than that, you haven't seen it. So where do you go from here, Russ? You build. You can kind of – a lot of things you can take away from this game coming into it. You know, there was a lot of chatter in the locker room, a lot of things going on in the press about, you know, the McAdoo, the special meeting and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, it worked, and now you got a short week. You're going down to Washington to play on Thanksgiving night, so a quick turnaround here. Not a lot of time to relish the win, but you got to move on.
I don't know if the win – carries a whole lot moving forward into Thursday night's game, you know, with the short week. I would say this, though, in particular with what the Giants have gone through, up to this point, all of a sudden you get a win, you feel good. I would think your adrenaline is working for you as opposed to the negativity of a loss going into a short week.
Well, they've had enough negativity, that's for sure. And I just coming into the building today, and you've seen
the atmosphere from the moment you walk through the front door.
That's the way it
everybody's, is. The entire building. I'm talking to folks. I'm talking about receptionists. Everybody, the dining area. Everybody's got a giddy up in their step. Am I right?
We were just talking about the lottery before we came on here. It's like you've been buying those lottery tickets for the last 8 weeks and nothing's happened. And finally you go in and you put your $2 down and all of a sudden you walk out of there and you hit the lottery.
Yeah, if nothing else, you want to
and you feel good.
Right? Yeah.
You just feel good. Everybody feels good today in the building and they should. But, really what you said, does it take it forward? It's confidence that takes it forward. It's the ability, knowing that you can win a football game, because really 2 weeks ago you were talking, how are we ever going to win another football game the way we're playing? I got to give credit to the players, the coaches. You know, when you are on a team like the Giants are, it takes a lot to put together a win. And they did it yesterday, and they did it, you know, completely within each other. And what I mean by that, a lot of talk about things, and really, you know, talk is cheap when you talk about. That's what Coach Coughlin used to always say, talk is cheap, play the game. And, you know, so there was a lot of talk on going on in the building, but they went out and played the game yesterday, and they did well. Just goes to show you when there's a lot of effort flying around. And really, on offense, you get the news that Sterling Shepard is going to be out of the lineup. You know, you're thinking, wow, this is really going to be detrimental. They did play with a lot of guys out of the lineup yesterday. You had guys in and out. OV got hurt yesterday, in and out. His toughness, as it always is, you know, being able to continue to play the game. So those are all important factors to a game yesterday that they won. And it's important, the guys that understand that, you know, I think what happened, Russ, with this whole losing and the locker room meetings and all the things with the players, guys finally got pissed off. They finally said, you know what, we're tired of losing. I mean, it just gets boring.
We were talking about that. Again, you're a player, so you know what it's like. I just think people keep asking, how did this happen? When we see a performance like yesterday from the defense, how did this happen? What was going on up to that point? And what I say now is you can't fix what was. You can only move forward from this point on. I just think – I don't know if it was overconfidence in the players' parts. I think in some of the players' minds, and I don't know which players, but I'll say as a collective group, Jeff, that maybe they're just saying, you know what, we're too good for us to play like this. It's going to turn around. But you know what? I think maybe people were waiting for it to turn around as opposed to doing something to make it turn around. Yesterday, they did something to make it turn around.
Well, not only did they do something yesterday, I promise you there was something done during the week. And if you look at the way that the Kansas City Chiefs run their offense in multiple formations, they come out all over the place. There was a lot of studying going on in this past week, preparation, all the things that are ingredients to winning. And I think that there was probably an overemphasis of that this week because of this offense, defensively. And it worked. It really did. I mean, they snuffed out a lot of plays yesterday. That shovel pass to Kelsey, that's their bread and butter. They use that thing all the time. JPP had seen that play 100 times. They knew that was coming. That wasn't just being in the right place at the right time. He knew that play was coming. That was a big turnover. Snacks gets it. The most impressive thing about that play was Snacks ran for 9 yards. You know what I mean? But that got things going. And then when you look at offensively, you got a right tackle, a free agent right tackle from USC, a rookie, undrafted, who comes in and plays against Justin Houston, who leads the NFL in sacks. Okay, I had a great day. But offensively, they ran the football. Darkwell, I thought, did a tremendous job. He's a tough cookie, that kid. He really is. And the offensive line collectively has been getting better and better every single week. And for all those naysayers about Ereck Flowers, haven't seen many tweets about Ereck Flowers, calls about Ereck Flowers. I think he silenced the critics a little bit. Does he have to get better? Absolutely. But he slowly is becoming the player that Jerry Reese had thought he was going to be at the beginning of the season.
Again, since not giving up a sack since game two. You know, so I read something. He's got the second most snaps in the league. I don't know who's number one. The second most snaps in the league for not allowing a sack at his position. So that has been an improvement. You did mention one thing about Darkwa, and I love the kid. I mean, he's really, you know, coming into his own. One of the things that I think he definitely needs to get a little better on is catching a football. Because
there were two instances
yesterday, one in particular, which actually was on the drive that subsequently led to the touchdown. I had it written down.
Well, the one he dropped, it was kind of a little thrown a little bit low. So I think you put a little bit out on Eli.
But he had a wide open field.
Yeah, he would have scored on that play.
Anyway, listen, it is a W, and they go into a week feeling good, a very, very short week, because they have the Washington Redskins coming up in our nation's capital on Thursday night, Thanksgiving night. But right now, what do you say we open up the phone lines? As always, 201-939-4513 is the number. On Twitter, it is #GiantsChat. Let's start off in Syracuse and start our chats with Chris today. Chris, how are you, buddy?
What's up, Chris?
Good. How's it going, guys?
Good. What's going on?
Good. Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
And you too. Same to you, Bob.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Yes. Okay, well, I mean, obviously defense stepped up big time yesterday. That was awesome to see. But I did want to focus a little bit on kind of the bigger picture, especially when it comes to the offense. And, you know, for a long time now, we've kind of been getting all over these guys' case, Eric Flowers especially, who is doing fantastic. But we've been kind of getting on their case, and I really think it has to do with focus and scheme. And what I mean by that is I don't know, but it just doesn't seem like there was enough focus on running the ball in the off season and scheming to do the kind of things that we're doing now. It almost seems like now that we're making that a focal point, the players are performing much, much better. And so I guess that's what I'm going to say is my criticism of the scheme is that we, I think, still show just too much temptation to go wides when they're available and not enough focus on just kind of doing the basic fundamental stuff. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that the evolution of the running game for this team, you saw at the beginning of the year, the offensive line was in flux. I mean, they were having their problems. You know, John, they were having problems at right guard. They were having problems at right tackle, okay? And I feel like as when J.J. Fluker got into the lineup, I think that's when things started to change the running game, okay? And then they started to believe that they had the personnel to be able to run the football. So, you know, that guy – remember, McAdoo loves the four – he likes to throw the football. That's just in his DNA. It really is.
Chris, are you calling from daycare?
Yeah. The kids got half days.
Okay.
Half days.
So. But I think that – I think you have a point there, but I think as of late the scheme – and some of the focus on the running game has turned into pretty positive. It really has.
I guess the whole reason that I bring it up real quick is just because if we actually saw something yesterday and say McAdoo does display an ability to sort of coach guys up, because I think he deserves a lot of credit along with the players yesterday, say somehow he's able to pull a rabbit out of the hat and save his job somehow, which personally I think it's probably too late for that. But
I wouldn't. I, you know what, Chris? I'm going to disagree with you. I really do. I Mara and Tisch did not issue that statement for the sake of just issuing a statement. If they didn't believe that's in that statement, Chris, they would not have issued it. Everybody is on call, on watch, whatever you want to call it. And I'll tell you what. If you see the performance and the effort and everything that you got to see yesterday, I wouldn't bet on anything happening. I mean,
Well, that's fair enough. So say that happens. Though the point I'm trying to make is what would scare me is that we're going to revert back to what it is that we normally do, because you get Beckham back healthy, you get the pieces back into place, and I just hope that if nothing else, we learn how much more functional just a balanced offense that's doing kind of the fundamental things can really be when it's executed. Like, I just think that sometimes we're just getting a little too cute. And so, I mean, that's just kind of what I think. And a big congrats to Eli yesterday for second most consecutive starts all time. And thanks again for taking my call.
All right, Chris.
Happy holiday.
You too, buddy. Thank you very much. The only way I would disagree with Chris right there is simply because, well, listen, let's be honest. When you have arguably the most explosive player in the National Football League when he's healthy, you're going to want to throw the ball.
Yeah, but I think what he was talking about is that, you know, I think they didn't commit to the run because they couldn't run the football. They did not have the personnel to run the football.
Right.
I think now if you came in and you went back 6 weeks from – just go back 6 weeks and had the same offensive line that you do now with the running game, that offense could become a little bit different. And I think that what his point is that – you know, if we get in and nothing happens with the staff and it's just the same thing next year, do you fall back on starting to go in with when Beckham is healthy again and Shepard is here and this and that, and you got a Ingram who's now a second-year player? do they get pass happy again? And so, and I hopefully you'll learn from this, because you want to have a balanced offense to be able to help your team win. And when you win, when you're winning, if you can run the football, you run the clock out, and that's what you do.
And Doc is showing that he can be a guy who can run the football. You know, that's another thing. Listen, you're also talking about let's go into the game yesterday. You had three backups at wide receiver, and they did yeoman's work. I mean, they might be backups, but Tavares King made a big catch. We certainly know what Roger Lewis's catch was.
Travis Rudolph
made a couple of grabs. So,
well, they all had three catches apiece.
Yes.
And Travis Rudolph made a great catch on the
earlier,
sideline.
Yes, he did.
You know, it was a back shoulder throw by Eli, and he made the adjustment and made the play. And then, listen, that catch by Roger Lewis was big time yesterday. That on a 4th and 5 to win the game, in essence, because – you know, the Chiefs are taking the ball over there if the Giants don't get the first down. And the way that the game is going, that game's going to end in a tie.
Well, by the way, I went home last night again, and I must have watched that play 8-10 times.
Yeah.
That was a touchdown. Roger Lewis.
You saw it on the video that there was just a whisper of a touch.
Yeah, I don't know. It certainly looked like one to me. But anyway, again, folks, 201-939-4513 is the number. We're going to stick here in Jersey today and speak with Timothy. Timothy, you're on with Russ and Jeff. How you doing?
Fine.
Hi, Timothy.
I got to you. Will the Giants hire Josh McDaniels as the new head coach and hire Jim Moore as the new defensive coordinator if they fire Ben McAdoo and Steve Spagnuolo after this season?
I wouldn't think so, Timothy, but you really, thank you for the call. We very much appreciate it. I don't think Jim Moore or
I guess you could put those names on a list if they're available, but right now they're not.
Travis in Queens. Travis, how are you today?
Hey, fellas, how you guys doing?
Good. What's going on, Trav?
All right, happy Thanksgiving. A few weeks ago, I called, and I was speaking to you, Russ, and it was about – the topic was about Jerry Reese.
Right.
And, like, I realized, you know, like later on, well, after this game that they won, is that – and you guys were telling the story. I think you were telling the story how, like, the marriage, you know, they wanted after the season – no, like, mid-season, they wanted to fire everybody.
I didn't say that.
This was probably not this year, right? You're talking about previous years?
No, right. Previous.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what I mean? Like, because, you know, like.
That was the Jacksonville game a few years ago.
Yes.
He came on record and said, I wanted to fire everybody after that game.
Right.
Right. So that's what I'm talking about. And my point is to say, you know what I mean? Like, here it is as fans. Sometimes, you know, like, when a game is lost, you're so heated. You know what I mean? You don't think it all the way through. So, like, I realized, like, you know what I mean? Like, yo, when you think back to Jerry Reese's press conference that he had, he was making, like, legitimate points leading up to now, you know, saying how, you know, like, the team, like, with the players, like, with the offensive line, how he thought, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like, he had some of the pieces together, and they came down to coaching and so on and so forth. And it's showing that, you know what I mean, like what he said holds some truth to it. Like, you know, a lot of it is coaching up, because when you look at it, you know what I mean, here it is, like you said, we're playing with three backup wide receivers, and we beat a good team, believe it or not. You know what I mean? So it goes to show you that, you know, it's not really, you know what I mean, like how a team starts, I guess. So towards the end of the season, it's about, you know, like how they finish. And then I think if they finish decent, I think I can see Reese staying. I could also see McAdoo staying, because it's only his second year, you know.
So, Travis, I would agree with you on that. I would say this, and I think Ben McAdoo, I think Jerry Reese, I think Mara and Tisch, Salzburg and Fiegels, and you, Travis, we'd all agree on one thing, though. Yeah, you might say it's not how you start, it's how you finish. But I don't think any of us could take any more of these 1-8 starts.
Oh, you're not. Definitely not.
Okay.
Definitely not. But like, because, you know, you take, real quick, you take the, you know, everybody was saying that he lost the team. And you know, I was on the fence with it to whether or not did he lose the team, but it clearly shows that he didn't. You know, it was just
you got to give a lot of credit to Ben and his staff to be able to put a game plan together,
right,
with all the criticism that's going around. He actually came out and said, hey, we want the fans there. It's going to be a show, and they backed it up. So I think that, you know, that is a good indication of Ben McAdoo's ability to coach.
And you know what, Travis, a lot of people had an agenda in the media, you know, to spur the fans on, to have them complain, because they, you know, they don't like, they want an excuse. They want an excuse. Believe me, I sat in the press conference yesterday, okay, waiting for Ben to come in, and I can tell you there were members of the media pissed off that the Giants had won the game, because you know what? It screwed up the narrative that, let's get, you know, here's another one. Let's hang him.
Right.
Let's tar and feather him.
They had to write another article.
Yeah.
They already had the other ones written.
All of a sudden, everything changes. Yeah, Travis, listen, I agree with you. When Ben McAdoo, everybody mocked Ben when he said during the week, when they asked him, what'd you think? I told our guys it's a great opportunity. Well, we got a great opportunity from now to the rest of the season. Let's go have some fun. We're going to give the fans a great game. And they mocked that. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
They gave them a great game yesterday. They gave them a great effort with a shorthanded group, and they won the game.
Exactly.
Does it make everything all better? No, but yesterday was a start. Couldn't agree with you more, Travis.
Thanks, Travis.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Yep, take care.
All right, and that's the truth. I mean, you could see it. There were certain people in there. This screwed up their plans. Oh, how are we going to lynch him now? Well, we can't lynch Ben today. We can't lynch Jerry today. You know, the offensive line, Flowers is playing good. Chad Wheeler, nobody's complaining about that today.
And I'm sure there's a lot of people that are out there that are saying, well, why the Giants keep winning now? They got to win. We're trying to get the top three pick.
Yeah. Believe me, I saw somebody – tweet and Carl Banks responded to it. Oh, this screws it up now, because now we're not going to be able to get the first or second pick. And you know what? And Carl responded, it's about going out and trying to win a game. They just want a good game. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do.
That's what they get paid to do.
Yes. Let's stay here in Jersey and speak with Dilly. Is it Dilly or Billy?
Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good. Is it Billy or Dilly?
You guys always do this. It's Billy.
Okay, that's Joey, what I'm saying. It says Dilly.
Okay?
Dilly. All right, Dilly, what's up?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Hey, Jeff, congrats on the Hurricanes beating the crap out of the Irishmen. I loved it.
I did, too. Trust me. I got a little scared last week against Virginia. But that defense and that turnover chain, that's for real. They came back and put them away. So we got one more game, regular season against Pittsburgh Friday. But I appreciate it. Keep watching.
Okay, cool. Hey, check this out. I got a couple of comments and observation. Right, my observation of the game. First of all, man, I like the fact that they schemed. They were focused and they changed their scheme. I loved it, and I can tell right away when they came out that they were focused. That it looked like last year's team, right?
Yeah. The defense.
They looked more they looked more physical. The defense looked more, and well, the offense too. They the running backs were running really physical, and it seemed like Kansas City wasn't expecting that. And not only that, I was glad for McAdoo, man, because I was starting to feel sorry for him, to be honest with you. The team had a great attitude on the sideline and every day. But there's something nobody else no one is talking about.
But
right?
Dilly is. Dilly's going to talk about it. What is it, Dilly?
I didn't see Eli Apple out there.
No, he was inactive.
He was inactive yesterday.
Right. Okay, and that safety, what's his name, Wade? Is that Travis Wade? Is that the name? The safety that was out there. The guy that played a lot last year.
Oh, Andrew Adams?
Yeah, the Adams guy. Now, he was out there, and it seemed like he made a big difference.
Well, he started 13 games for him last year, so he was actually playing a little bit of cornerback yesterday.
Who's he talking about? Is he talking about Cockrell?
Well, Cockrell wasn't here last year.
That's why I was.
Well,
a little
Cockrell
confused.
Started in place of Eli Apple, and Adams was in there playing a little bit of a nickel corner. Okay, he's a safety, so yeah, but he was definitely in there, and he is a good player. UConn.
Dilly, Eli Apple missed a couple of days of practice last week. He was excused from his mom had brain surgery. I understand she's doing okay.
Oh, wow.
I understand she's doing okay, but so he missed a couple of days, and so that's why he was inactive.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear. I'll be praying for him. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna ease up on him because I was gonna lambast him, but I'm gonna ease up on that.
Okay.
But hey, good team win. Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
You're welcome, Dilly.
All right, Dilly.
Glad we finally got your name right.
All right. No screw ups on Dilly.
If I'm Dilly, when I call in, I say it's D as in David, Illy, Dilly.
All right. Now let's go to Columbia, Maryland, and speak with Len, Len.
Our good buddy Len. What's up, Len?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How you doing today, Lenny?
Good, good. I'm feeling pretty good.
I would think you would be.
The 7-week audition is underway, and we got off to a great start yesterday with that win.
Yes, we did.
And let's not underestimate the value of that win in terms of where it took place at home. That's always important.
Yep.
And we got, I guess, 3 more at home.
All
against
AFC,
division against
yep.
division rivals,
every one of them. Yep.
And I think we can't go 0-6 in the division. We got to win some division games, and I think we can do that. I think we can do that. You know, I said this after the Denver game. When your best players play their best, you got a good shot.
Well, they all got to play good. That's just it. That's right.
I mean, yesterday, you look, the guys who made the plays, Jenkins, Harrison. Harrison was terrific.
Collins,
just terrific.
Collins was flying around everywhere.
The guy picks himself off the ground and gets back in the next play. Terrific.
Yeah, I know. And Snacks, he is a really good team player. You know, he doesn't sugarcoat anything. He takes the criticism.
Yeah.
He's honest with himself and the fans, which is really nice
to see.
Well,
he's a leader.
And to me, he's really a difference maker. When he's on the field, it's just a different story. He's a terrific player. You know, and you put let's not underestimate, his name hasn't come up yet, and I just want to say this, and kudos to him again, Eli. You know, we don't win that game yesterday without Eli. You know, in that weather, in that wind, under the conditions that we're playing, 1-8. There's nothing like senior leadership. He just oozes that leadership factor.
Well, that's a lot of people forget that because the Giants fans are, believe it or not, they're spoiled with number 10. The guy plays 209 consecutive games for you. He's giving you everything he has, and there's not anybody that's more prepared and ready to play a game than Eli Manning. And he has his good with his bad, but there's more good than bad there.
You know what?
Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! And I've often said, and I said this about Phil Simms too, Russ. Playing in that stadium. You can put any other look at Smith yesterday. He was bothered by that wind.
Of course.
He was bothered by that wind. Now I don't want to say Eli wasn't bothered by the wind, but there's a coolness to him in dealing with it. And I think it affected him. The same with Phil. I think the statistics, are overrated. You got to look at those kinds of things.
Yeah.
I don't think we win that game without Eli.
Len, you're bringing up Eli and you're bringing up Phil in the same breath. And that makes me go back to, and I don't know if I've said this to you before. I know I've said it to other people. Parcells always used to say, because people would criticize Phil also. And Parcells would say, when he's not around, when he's no longer here, Parcells would say, you're all going to be saying, that number 11, he was pretty damn good. And you know what? They're going to say the same thing about number 10 as well.
Yes, absolutely. And let me just go back even further than that, Russ. You'll remember the name. I don't know if you remember seeing the player play. But I can go back as far as Charlie Conley. And
sure.
He was about as criticized as any quarterback there ever was. And Charlie Conley was one heck of a quarterback. But back there in the 50s, oh, my gosh. It took about 10 years before people said, that Conley's pretty good. How come he's not in the Hall of Fame? Hey, let me say something about Eric Flowers. I saw something yesterday in Flowers that really kind of impressed me. I hadn't thought in the first couple of years of play that he was very good on the move. I mean, you know, if the other player moved, Eric had trouble finding him. But, man, he got outside a couple of times yesterday. I mean, out of his stance and out to the left and lead blocking, I mean, he looked like a different player. Well, you know, in that aspect of the game.
Think about what's going on here. You know, Jeff brought it up earlier. All of a sudden, Mr. Eric Flowers is no longer the whipping boy and the reason for everybody's problems, like it was week in and week out, week in and week out, on end. Eric Flowers. Well, you know what? Nobody's complaining about Eric Flowers.
I mean, that
aspect of the game yesterday, I don't know if you guys watched the game a second time on tape or anything, but look for that. You know, on some of those screen attempts and even on some of the run attempts, I mean, Flowers, and that was something we didn't see early on in his career. It was almost like he's playing inside a box. And but I think he's playing with confidence, and that makes a difference. Listen, you know, we're down to a six-week audition. I want to see Wheeler. He had a nice game yesterday. You know, I want to see him Thursday night against Ryan Kerrigan. I want to see him against DeMarcus Lawrence when we play Dallas. I want to see him against Curry in Philadelphia. You know, I mean, that's how we measure where we are, I think.
That's why he's in that division.
We can't go 0-6 in the division, please. We just can't do that.
All right, Lennox.
So, hey, a good start to the last 6 weeks, and I'm looking forward to a division game on Thursday night.
Very good.
All right, Lenny.
Great effort by the Giants. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Enjoy your turkey. Thank you, Lenny. Let's go down to North Carolina now. Again, folks, the number 201-939-4513, and check in with Phil. Phil, how you doing today?
I'm fine. Thanks, guys. A couple of things real quick before.
Whoop.
Phil, I think you were unfortunately disconnected. Yes, I'm seeing you were. So you call back and we'll get you back up. In the meantime, let's go to Susan in Bohemia. Susan.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. I'm really just so glad what Len said. That's really what I was calling about, because when everyone was talking about the game yesterday, Eli's name hardly came up at all, except for the idea of his consecutive streak. But I can't believe, really, you know, when I went back and I looked at all of his plays, he really had an excellent game. I mean, he was zipping that ball through the wind. And he would have had a lot higher completion rate if it wasn't for all the drops. I can't believe all the drops again. There were a couple that were a little low or a little to the outside, but they were even still catchable balls. And it's just because I think because the receivers are still fairly new. But that was fantastic. Not only that, but he even ran. I mean, he scrambled. He scrambled for a first down, and then he scrambled out of the pocket that time when one of the defenders crashed through, and he had to chuck the ball away. But still, I mean, he was running around out there. And then the overtime drive. I mean, come on. That was like such classic Eli. It reminded me in 2011 when he always brought those fourth quarter comeback drives. And it was absolutely beautiful. He made beautiful throws. And he just had such a great drive. And again, I haven't heard anyone really giving him the kudos except for good old Len. Thank you, Len, about it. And, of course, you guys. That's all I just wanted to say. So thank you, guys.
All right, have
a great day.
Happy Thanksgiving as well. Let's just not forget, while Eli was looking good, some of those catches, one in particular by Mr. Lewis, another one by Tavares King. Well, no, you mentioned it earlier, and Travis Rudolph. Those three young men played very well yesterday.
They did.
Under difficult circumstances. And you know what the Giants did yesterday also?
Drop passes.
Besides drop passes, but they also...
They did. The three guys you talk about and the running backs all drop passes. So we want to talk more about Eli. If those guys would have caught some of those passes, he would have an even better day, and we would be talking more about Eli.
But you know what they did, though, on offense and defense? Guys did make big plays when they needed to make big plays. Catches.
Well, that's what you have to do to win games in the National Football League. And the game of football is all about big plays. And you talk about it. Kansas City is a big play offensive team, and they didn't make very many big plays. They tried to make a big play, and Travis Kelce ended up throwing an interception. How about that? So you got two non-quarterbacks that threw interceptions in the game yesterday.
Yeah. What did you think of the option with Shane Vereen? I didn't mind it at all.
It was open. It was open, but if he had just gotten to throwing the ball a little bit quicker, it was open.
Yeah.
That series was kind of crazy because you had you had the first time that they lined up in the formation that the Kansas City Chiefs run, and that's where they split out the tackles as wide receivers. So the Giants do that. That's a kind of a crazy thing. They run a fake punt. Okay, you haven't seen that since. So I think that was the last time that it was called fake punt was when I was on the team back in 2004.
That's a good call. Yeah.
And then they also come out and then they run the trick play to Shane Vereen. So, you know, that just goes to show you a little variety that Ben McAdoo is trying to change some things up. And he said that there was going to be some things changed up. We thought it might have been personnel, but it was maybe some trick plays and things the way that they were doing things. So,
all right. Now we got Phil back up from North Carolina. Sorry about that, Phil. What do you got for us today, buddy?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I'll get right to it. Just a commentary. A couple of weeks ago, Ross, you said that you know, you thought the players felt it more of a loss than the fans. And my only caveat with that would be, some of us fans are fans from the beginning of the, you know, our families mm-hmm. followed this since 1925. So believe me, I can run through. There's about 7 games that stick in my stomach till today.
Right.
And I'll never forget them. on my deathbed, I'll still be remembering these games and you know, about 4 Philadelphia games. So
I think I was on the team with one of them, by the way.
Yeah. So but Jeff, you weren't with the one in 2002 with against the Shockey dropped that touchdown. You weren't there then,
no.
Right? You
came. But I was on the team in 2004 when they Mitchell returned Westbrook returned a touchdown on the punt, which we lost the game on. But yeah,
right. I remember that one too. But anyway, yesterday, good day. I was happy for the effort. And I guess I was particularly happy with the backup receivers. They looked totally ill-prepared when they first got thrusted into the limelight, but they're slowly coming around. And
it's a growth.
They made big improvements.
Had a lot of reps. They you know, right at the beginning, they were guys off the practice squad. And you know, some of those fourth and fifth receivers are running scout team. They don't even get to run the plays with Eli. So over the last 3, 4, 5 weeks, now those players are getting – reps with Eli during practice, and now that they're you know, the benefits of that are showing on the game.
Well, listen, Phil, how about some credit to one to all the young receivers, but you know, how about giving some real credit to Tavares King, who is waived, early in the season. Now he comes back because of the injuries, and let me tell you, he came back ready to play.
Oh, sure.
He came back prepared, ready to play, and he's played very, very well. And he's been singled out by Ben for doing so.
Well, you know, there's certain fellows you kind of – and I may be misreading this, but you get the vibe that you think, you know, this guy's a good guy or this guy's paying attention. He comes across that way. He comes across as a – and you guys would know better talking to them. But you know, he comes across as a good guy. So, good guy that's interested in doing well. So,
well, he appreciates his job. He knows how hard it is to have a job in the National Football League because he didn't have a job at the beginning of the year. And then when these injuries started to happen, they called him back. So he's going to make the best opportunity he can for himself and go out and play the way he is. He is a really nice man. He's a good worker. He's a good teammate. And these guys really respect him. And he's making a good – you know, he's out there playing as hard as he can. That's all you can ask for him, really.
Right. The only other comment I have, and I'll take it off the air, and thank you all for taking my questions, still the screen game. We had a lot of drops, but it still – I don't remember it really clicking since 2005, to be honest with you. maybe because Tiki and Eli had a understanding of where he would be, but Eli's throws are – those short ones are still – look a little bit off here and there, and I think it's partly because he's just not sure where the guy's going to be.
You know what, Phil? Listen, Jeff and I were talking about it earlier. I don't know if you heard, but yesterday there were a couple in particular. Listen, there was some win yesterday, but there were a couple in particular, and we spoke about Darkwa, who, I'm loving. The guy is really coming into his own as a running back, runs hard, runs well, but there are a couple. One in particular, I'll tell you what play it was. It was on, give me 1 second. because I marked it down and circled it. It was first and 10. Giants had a first and 10 at the 26 to the right side. He threw a pass to Darqua that Orleans had nothing but open field. He just dropped the ball. Like Jeff said, might have been a little low, but this is the NFL. This is not college. It's not high school. You got to make that catch. And then he dropped another one. Subsequently, on that drive, it led to the touchdown. But you know, you got to make those plays. So, you know, maybe you're right, but yesterday Eli had some drops on those short passes that shouldn't have been drops.
The one thing, Phil, real quickly about the screen game is that, you know, they practice it, and when you're practicing it on the field in practice, it's not 100%, you know, fast. When you get in the game, so the screens are all about timing, and a lot of times it's about personnel, and there are good running backs that can catch screens. I mean, I think Vereen is a guy that you should use in the screen game a little bit more often. I think he's better off with that. But the linemen, it's all about timing. And really, it's hard to carry it over from practice into a game when you're not running at full speed, because it is such a timing play. If you notice, there's a lot of teams in the league that were really good screen. Green Bay is one of them. I mean, that's why McAdoo tries to do it as much. You look at the New Orleans Saints are amazing at the screen game. And also the team they played yesterday. The Chiefs are really good at the screen game. So, and that's just constantly practicing that play. But eventually, if you have the right personnel, the right running back that can run the play, they'll get better, because they can be big plays.
Right, right. Well, thank you, guys.
You're welcome, Phil.
All right, Phil.
Thank you, buddy.
Have a good day and a happy Thanksgiving, you and the family. What did you think of when they went for the ball? I want to, you know, I didn't have a problem with it. I forget exactly where they were. It was when Giants went for the first down on 4th and 9.
On 4th and 9, or was it?
Earlier in the game. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
Well, that was because of the wind.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's exactly.
Yeah, because you know what? I mean, what do you do? This.
I think he felt, you know what, and I don't think he was confident that they could have put the ball, let's say, inside the 5 or inside the 10-yard line. And if I was going to give it to him at the 20, well, where are we now at the 35? So that's exactly what I thought.
I'm trying to remember the fourth down play, but
I'll try and find it.
You know, even talk about fourth down play, the fourth down play that won the game. You know, you're in that situation with 2 minutes left in the game. You're trying to win the game. But, you know, the flip side of that is that, you know, if you don't make that, you're giving the Chiefs the ball close to midfield. And with 2 minutes left in the game and still 2 timeouts, I believe they had, you get 2 timeouts in the 10-minute overtime period. But that's a little tricky there, because you never know. They can go down there and pop 2 or 3 plays, and then the Chiefs kick a field goal and they win the game.
We were talking in the press box yesterday. I turned around to you. Now, in fairness, and you pointed it out, that wind had a lot to do with the missed extra point.
Yeah.
And Ben McAdoo said that in the post game. In fact, Ben said in the post game that had they scored a touchdown in that area the next time, they probably would have gone for 2-point conversion. That's how bad the win was. But I was saying to you, both as a punter and as a kicker, because this kid, Aldrich, has a tremendous leg.
Yeah.
How much is it when you're in a slump, and everybody goes through? I was sitting with Imani and asked him about going through slumps. Everybody goes through slumps at positions. How much is that physical, and how much is it mental?
Well, it's mostly mental, and it's the physical part about it is you have to go out there and just fight through it physically, because you start to overanalyze things. Why am I dropping passes? Why am I shanking punts? Why am I missing field goals? When you go back and look on film and you start to do a little bit of self-coaching, a lot of times, and most of the time, it comes back to between your ears. And with young kickers, if they're afforded the opportunity to, if they are in a slump, the team believes in them long-term, to stick with them, they'll eventually get out of it. But sometimes they don't have that opportunity. The team just quits on them. Aldrich Rosas is not a guy you want to quit on. He's a talent that very rarely comes across that you have the chance to have him on your team. He has a tremendous leg, and he's young, and he's a big dude. And I think that you just kind of stay with him for the rest of the season, get a one season under his belt, developing a little bit more in the offseason and going into next year, because you got a good kicker here, and they're hard to find. I mean, that's why there's a turnstile of kickers. They don't they see them all the time coming through, and you know they don't stick a lot of the times because they're just people give up on them. So it's more mental, to answer your question, than it is physical. And it is tough. I'll give you a prime example of this from my standpoint. There was a back in 2000, I think it was maybe 8, after our Super Bowl, I had dropped a few extra points snaps and field goal snaps in practice, and I couldn't get out of my mind. So then when I've held field goals for all my life. I could do it in my sleep. And then I got in a game, I think it was against Washington, and the first extra point came back, and sure enough, I dropped it.
Right.
And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. And this I was scared to death from that point on. And I tell you, all I had to do was go back on the field and catch 150 to 250 snaps through somebody either snapping them to me or just to get my confidence back up, and then it just went away.
Yeah, I've always felt that's an underrated skill.
Oh, the holding. Listen,
I've always felt that because
it's very unappreciative.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. If there is a skill that is taken for granted in sports, because quite frankly, the PAT is taken for granted.
Yeah. Well, not so much anymore. Yeah.
But that particular skill, you know, especially in bad weather or outside and rain and cold in the Northeast, it's completely different. I've always thought about that.
It's horrible sometimes, and you know, you don't get enough credit for it, but you only notice when something bad happens to it. Or I will tell you that the commentators make a point to say, hey, that was a great hold if it's on the ground or something like that. But the snappers really make it easy on you. Like a guy like Zach Diossi or any of the snappers for that matter, they're so good. You catch it, the laces are there, you just set it down, you know. But once in a while, you know, when you're in a windy game like yesterday and the kicker has the wind to his back, just remember that the snapper is snapping against the wind. So the whole team might be going with the wind, but the snapper is snapping it against it. And that's not only tough for him, but it's also tough for the holder and the punter because that ball moves. I mean, it moves within 8 yards. It moves within 15 yards on a punt, snapping into a 30 mile an hour wind. That ball's all over the place, like flying a kite. We used to call it a box of knives. I used to tell Ryan Keel, I used to come off the sideline. He goes, how was the snap? I said, it was like catching a box of knives. Can you get a spiral, please?
All right, let's go back to the phones. It's, again, the number 201-939-4513. Let's go to Baltimore. Speak with Shakes. Shakes, what's shaking today, buddy?
Hi, Shakes.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's going on, Shakes?
I'm all right, man. I'm doing okay, but I'm a little confused here. I thought we was tanking.
Come on, Shakes. You've never been confused before.
I thought
before.
We was tanking here.
Huh? You've never been. Don't call in here and tell me you're confused.
I thought we was in the Saquon Barkley sweepstakes.
Oh, I see. I knew. I see. It's only a matter of time. No wonder you're confused. What's the problem with you?
Man, listen. We done lost to the 49ers, but we beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. How does that sound?
It sounds like it should be the other way around, but
yeah, exactly. So if you're gonna sit there and you're gonna lose to one of the worst team, maybe possibly the worst team in the league, but then you're gonna beat one of the best teams that's in the league. I don't get that.
Well, Shakes, that's why it's sports. What you expect to happen doesn't happen, and vice versa.
Listen, if I know where you're going with this, I can tell you this. At least that the 49ers now have the tiebreaker over us because they beat us. So if you're talking about draft picks, the 49ers, if we have the same record as them at the end of the year.
Yeah, right? That's what I was going to say.
I knew you were going to go there.
That all sounds nice if they got three wins and we got two. Mm-hmm. But we got two and they got one.
Well, the season's not over yet.
You're messing up my draft pick here, y'all.
Yeah, but, I could say.
I know what you were going there. Shakes. That's why you're confused.
Shakes, it's Thanksgiving. Don't be looking at the glass half empty. Be looking at the half full, for crying out loud, bro.
All right, but I do have something to say. To me, Now, you always get the special player, right? Because to me, what is scary to me is that if we do have, like, the first, second, third overall pick, in those picks, you want to either get an offensive lineman or a quarterback or possibly trade back, you know? So that's what's scary to me is that I know Saquon Barkley is a talent. Like, those guys only come, like, once every 15 years. So, I mean, if you got a chance to take them, take them. But if you got that pick, I feel like the worth. Like, I don't know if I would pick a running back is what I'm saying.
You won't. I'm telling you right now, you will not pick a running back. No, you won't. I know you, Shakes. You're not picking a running back. As much as you want to pick a running back with that top pick, you're not. Because you know why? How many years do running backs play in the league? Four years? How many years do franchise quarterbacks play in the league?
It's a miracle to get them in their second contract.
You go. So that's why I'm going to tell you in your own draft, I'm going to be your GM, and you're not taking that running back. You're taking the quarterback.
I just can't do that. I can't sit there and say, grab a quarterback when I got a Hall of Fame quarterback already on the roster.
Everything, all good things come to an end eventually.
You know, he's
37 years old.
It's not the time.
Well, listen, you know what? Here's the funny thing about this conversation is that this conversation would have never been – we would have never had this conversation 6-7 weeks ago.
Right.
Because this was something that nobody was going to be talking about. So now all of a sudden it's accelerated. And listen, John Mara had told that – he came out and said to the organization, you need to go scout these other guys. And so, you know, it's staring you in the face, Shakes. Don't worry. You won't be making the pick. Or me or Russ aren't making the pick either.
Grab that lineman. Please don't grab that quarterback.
And I'll tell you something else, Shakes.
Mm-hmm.
Were you in Saturday night? Did you watch the UCLA-USC game?
No, I didn't catch it.
Okay, well.
I'm actually a U fan, so yeah, shout out to Figu's son. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
okay, Shakes. I watched, you know, the entire game, and there's no question that Darnold and Rosen are both going to be starters in the National Football League. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Is that UCLA or is that USC or is that both?
Both. Darnold is from USC, and they say he's questionable about coming out. And they say that Rosen from UCLA is pretty much definite about coming out. Listen, both outstanding talents. And I'll ask you this.
I'm going to check it
out. From what I watched, I think both those guys, while they have a lot of talent, it would serve them better to stay another year in college. Now, you tell me what you think.
Well, Sam Darnold already said that if Cleveland has the number one pick and they are going to pick him, then he's going to stay.
Right.
Okay, my opinion of that is, of course, go ahead and stay if you really feel like you're not ready to go to the next level. But if you are sitting there and considered to be 1, 2, 3 overall pick,
you go.
Go.
They're both
take that
going.
Money.
They're both
go
going.
Take that money because you don't know if you'll ever be back at that point.
Well,
so go.
All right, listen, again, I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying it. And, Shakes, have yourself a happy Thanksgiving, buddy, and thank you, as always, for the call.
See you, Shakes.
I'm just saying that, you know, a lot of times if you think you're good enough is not the right answer. Is what other people think you're good at.
And just from what I've read about it and heard, they're legit. They're big quarterbacks. They're both 6'4", 6'5", pocket passers, good arm strength. They can make all the throws. And so, you know, that's why there was 20 teams scouting them.
Yeah, I'll tell you something.
Not that 20 teams are looking for a quarterback.
Yeah. But listen, it was a showcase game, and I'll tell you something about Rosen. Man, he puts the ball on the money, and boy, he had some drops there too. UCLA also had a guy, a receiver number 14, I believe it was Theo Howard.
They fired Jim Moore yesterday.
Yes, yeah, they fired him yesterday.
And Mike McCoy, the offensive coordinator for Broncos, got fired today. What happens when you lose six games in a row and you can't run the football?
All right, we got time for another call. Let's go to Ron in Maryland. Ronnie, how are you today?
Hi, Ron.
Hey, good. Russ. Hey, Jeff.
Hi.
Jeff, Bob, three more games, Jeff, and you can have those binoculars of mine that you like so much.
I need them. I'm telling you. I forgot. Hey, listen, I forgot mine at the game yesterday.
Oh, you left them there?
Yeah. No, I didn't leave them. I forgot them at home. Oh. I forgot my binoculars yesterday.
And you guys were sitting up there with no jackets on. It was amazing. Anyway, listen, real quick concept here. Help me understand, and then I'll take it off.
All right.
The defense. How does it turn on and turn off? Now, I went to the Jet game. I went to the Jet preseason game. I realized it's preseason. But the first half, you know, everybody's starters are playing, et cetera, et cetera. But I'll tell you what, I left there after the first half, and I said to my friend, I said, my God, we are set for the year. It was 29-0. Okay, preseason, but everybody had their best players in. It was a tune-up. Well, you know what's happened since Denver. And then yesterday, watching this yesterday, how does that happen? Is it – I mean, there's nothing to play for.
That's where you're wrong, Ronnie. That's where you're wrong. That there's everything to play for yesterday. They got to play for themselves. They got to play for the guy next to them. They got to play for their future. They got to play for their careers.
Why aren't they doing that in the first game?
Well, listen, I couldn't agree with you more, but what I'm saying is you're here now. They played lousy. Like, let's not compare a preseason game, because a preseason game is just that. It's a preseason game.
You had guys running all over the place. You remember Olivier ran down some guy to the 30-yard line. I mean, these guys were ready to play. I don't care if it was preseason or not.
Well, listen, let me comment on this. It's very difficult for any of us to understand it. There's really no answer. And the only thing that I can come up with, just from experience, is that I believe that the leadership had taken a role in last week. I think some of these players were tired of losing, and they were afraid to say something before, and now they're like, you know what, we got to start winning. We got to start playing for as a team. And some things were said in the locker room individually. Coach McAdoo was pulling players, you know, out of meetings, talking to them individually. Now, I know that where you're going with this is, why wasn't this 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago? But you know what? It worked, and hopefully it carries over, because winning is just as much as losing is contagious. You want to kind of get it going again. And let's see how this team responds to success on Thursday coming up.
That, to me, that's the most important thing, Ronnie. And as always, pal, thank you for the call. You and your family, have yourselves a happy Thanksgiving. I mean, they got something to be motivated about. And I'll tell you something else. Maybe in a cockeyed way, this worked for them. You know this business of a couple of anonymous sources, if indeed that did happen, because I don't know that it did. But if a couple of guys said that, I happen to think that made that locker room tighter, because I think a lot of guys were pissed off that somebody would say that, if
well,
indeed that happened.
You know, it was on defense. And you know that the players know who it was, okay? We're never going to find out who it is, and you know, they won't reveal it. But the players know who it was, and the players, I promise you, said something to those individuals. Keep your mouth shut.
I agree.
And why are you going to tear it down like that? And, you know, keep it within us. If you got something to say, say it to the coach. Say it right up in front of his face. I mean, that's the coward way to do things, is the old and I remember Tom Coughlin used to tell us all the time, because I remember he found out that there was an anonymous player one day, and he found out who it was. He told us he was going to find out who it was in the team meeting. He says, I got this crap about this anonymous player and who the – let me just tell you, and this is what he said – whoever the anonymous player is, I'm going to find out who you are, and I'm going to find you, okay? And he did. He found him.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. He found him. But guess what? There was never, ever another anonymous player again, you know, so you don't want to be that guy. I tell you what, that was how Tom put out fires. He says, I will find you. He's like the Terminator.
And as you say, Tom was good at finding out those things.
Oh, yeah.
All right, folks, that's a wrap on today. Thanks,
everybody.
Thank you for being part of Big Blue Kickoff here on Giants.
Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving.
For Jeff Eagles, I'm Russ Salzberg. He took the words out of my mouth. You have yourselves a happy Thanksgiving. I'll be back with you here on Wednesday. Until then, have a good one.